Hey, it's Christian Serratos, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Girl.
Hello, everybody. This is Jasmine.
And this is Michael.
And I'm The Walking Dead Girl. You're listening to The Walking Dead Girl, episode 119. In this podcast, we review and discuss the hit TV show, The Walking Dead from AMC. In addition to reviewing the show, we play listener feedback, so join the conversation.
So if you want to give us feedback, send email to talkback@thewalkingdeadgirl.com. You can go to our website, thewalkingdeadgirl.com/voicemail, to leave a voicemail feedback. And we might send you a Walking Dead Girl t-shirt. And you can also post a comment on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thewalkingdeadgirlpodcast. And we will, because we routinely read feedback and comments on the show.
Before we get started, I want to remind you guys that we will be discussing every gory detail about the TV show. So obviously there will be spoilers. So make sure you watch the current episode before listening. And this episode kind of redeems itself from last week.
The whole season.
The whole season. Because it was pretty interesting to finally see, I think in a way, inside Negan's head and how he works.
The compound.
The compound, which is a huge place, by the way. I think it's probably like one of the biggest camps that we've seen yet.
Yeah, I mean, there's various rooms and there's an open area where indoors. Kind of like, the prison was kind of equivalent, but the prison was kind of smaller, right?
Yeah, it was a little smaller, I think. This is a sheet metal factory. We established that.
Probably, yeah. Makes sense.
It just looks like an evil villain's lair. It like totally does from the outside when they had that like zoom out.
Right. And then when they zoomed out, you saw a few people kind of sitting or standing on kind of the roof. There was one person on the roof and there was
Oh, I didn't catch that.
One person on the balcony. And also in that zoom out, you know where they had the walkers in front?
Uh-huh.
Little trivia.
I think I know this, but yeah, go.
There's Greg Nicotero's...
Yep, knew this.
the dummy head of Greg Nicotero's zombie head, which was used in some other episode, was on a pole standing out there in one of the scenes. So I guess it was a cameo appearance of his head.
Yep. Yeah, it was like really skinny and stuff too.
Dried up in the sun, I guess, right?
Exactly, yeah.
It was weathered.
Leathery. Weathered. Yeah, I liked this episode. I have some conflicts, though, about Carl even going there in the first place.
Conflicted.
I'm conflicted on, like, whether it was a good idea or not. It was a good idea because we got some cool, like, shots of Negan and him doing his thing, but also bad because now Negan is holding Judith in his hands. So was this worth it? For what happens in the end, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Still thinking about it.
Yeah. Also, let's not forget, I just want to, for those that don't read the comics, we don't read them either, but I just know that when this show matches the comics, everybody on the web goes crazy, like, oh, it's just like the comics. And they post, like, panels of the comics that match the show. And basically, the scenes where Carl was interacting with Negan and also when Carl gets off the truck and stuff like that, those were all from the comics, exactly the same. And also some of the lines that Negan said, like, you know, we're the saviors, we follow the rules and stuff like that, those were taken from the comics as well. Which is good to see that, you know, they're following the comics for those that, you know, want to keep it matched up. Personally, I'm not that fanatical about it. I mean, they can be different if they want, but, you know.
But see, the thing is, I was thinking about this the other day, too. You know, Game of Thrones follows the book almost point for point, and it's a great show, and people are never disappointed because it doesn't follow the same kind of plot and the same kind of formula. But with The Walking Dead, because it's trying to stray away, yeah, it gives us some new stuff, but it also means there's more for people eye rolling and see, oh, this is the same thing we've seen before. For such a show that has such a great storyline, such a great premise, to just shrink back to formulaic is what's killing it. But this episode, I felt, maybe it was because it was closer to the comic that it was a better episode. Who knows?
Yeah.
Like the essence of it, You know, like, yeah, there's the way you shoot it and the way you direct it and the people you cast, but the essence of the show is it lies in the comic.
I think there was a few shots that didn't make sense and they were kind of weren't edited right. But overall, I think the show was great. I was going to hate on it initially, but then as I watched it a second time, I liked it even more because it kind of reminded me of a little bit of like Quentin Tarantino kind of filming. Because of the like the black comedy and stuff. Like Negan's.
It was always almost kind of like taking a, doing a take to the audience when he's talking to Carl.
Yeah. And also like, for example, that scene where Negan is in the Alexandria house looking at the faucet and wiggling his toes on the carpet and stuff with the upbeat music.
Was kind of
funny, you know, it was funny.
Yeah.
It kind of reminded me of like some kind of Quentin Tarantino type of thing. Speaking of which, there's a scene later on which reminded me of Pulp Fiction again. Pulp Fiction reference, but I'll mention it when we get to it. But okay. Yeah, and I, like, and when Negan is sitting in his private, you know, bedroom.
Was that his bedroom?
I guess. I don't know. I have in my notes a question mark. I don't know if that's his bedroom. But
yeah, I had that too.
But basically, what I liked was that it was a long scene, but there was a lot of dialogue and there was some back and forth. And it kind of reminds me of there's scenes in Quentin Tarantino movies where there's like two or three people talking and they last for quite a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Dialogue scenes.
Yeah.
It kind of reminded me of that as well.
Mm.
But yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, I liked the episode. I thought, again, it was a little too long, but at least there was more variety of content where we went back and forth to different characters, storylines, which I felt like we were missing before, which why people were like, would fall asleep during the episodes, it would get boring. I liked how they went back and forth. And even though it was a mostly Negan episode, I liked the other stuff they added in there too, with like Rick and Aaron finding that place, Michonne being really smart. You know, our group is very, very smart. They're cautious and sometimes stupid, but they're
so they're smart and stupid.
They're smart. And they're more smart than they are stupid. When they're stupid, like, you know, people get killed, like it suffers, but they bounce back and rebound. I mean, it's like Carl and Jesus all both had the same idea,
yeah.
But then Carl and Jesus separate, and now Michonne's on her way, and now Rosita has a bullet, so she can take on the world now, apparently.
Yeah, I don't. There's a lot of things coming together. There's a lot of setup for the next episode, yeah. Which is the final mid-season break. So I guess a lot of this is set up for what's going to happen next. And I guess we could do some predictions at the end. But yeah, we'll see how this ends. This whole hour long or episode thing with commercials is becoming a common thing nowadays in The Walking Dead. It was another long episode, and then the finale is probably going to be another long episode. So we'll see. It seems like they have a lot of content they want to cram into the show, or maybe they shouldn't have so much time on their hands. Maybe they need to tighten up the episodes. I don't know, but I don't mind more content. More as long as it serves the show. It's not just filler, you know.
Exactly.
So let's go through and break down the episode. You want to start off?
Sure. And yeah, in the cold open, we have Michonne is walking down the road where the mattresses were. And it seems like she's kind of...
With mattress? What?
I thought it was the mattresses. I didn't know those were pieces of wood.
Oh, I don't know what they were.
I thought those were the burnt mattresses.
Oh, they were? Okay, I guess so.
I thought we were picking up from there. Yeah. But I didn't know if she had this idea of killing those walkers in the spur of the moment. But yeah, she starts walking and whistling to draw some walkers out.
Yeah.
And kill some walkers. I've noticed a blooper.
What?
When she takes the head off of the walker that she drags off in the end.
Yeah.
Right before she turns around and picks him up from the legs.
Yeah.
The guy's finger moved.
Oh no.
Yeah, he moved. I don't know if he was supposed to be like dead reaction, whatever, but yeah, his finger totally moved. Like, it was like he had a twitch or something.
I noticed he had a nice pair of boots on. Well, nice, and they look brand new.
Well.
It's okay. So I noticed one thing in this scene, which could be nothing, could be something, but when she was walking along the road, they showed like a trail of liquid.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, maybe this is the maple syrup or the syrup, that pancake syrup that Jesus was dripping on the ground, right?
Yeah.
But then I thought, oh, no, the timelines don't match. Or maybe they do match. I don't know. Or maybe this is to show that this happened after Jesus dripped that liquid, that syrup on the ground. I don't know. But if you recall, Enid, when she got surprised by some walkers and she got off her bicycle, she was looking at the ground and there was a pool of liquid, right?
Ah, interesting.
In the previous two episodes back.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know why the purpose of showing that liquid on the ground is, but I'm just wondering if there's some connection there.
It's interesting. I don't know what it could have been.
Yeah.
Huh.
So, I don't know. I just thought I'd mention that.
Yeah, and then afterward, after she... Yeah, they have a cut to the walkie-talkie.
Well, she has one.
Yeah, she has a walkie-talkie because it's the one that Rick gave her in case Michonne wants to join them.
Oh.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
That's what the walkie... Because then, like, the next scene is where Rick is looking at the walkie-talkie and he looks like he's going to call her, I'm assuming would be her, but he doesn't. Because he probably misses her. That's what
Aww.
I feel. Yeah.
It's possible that that was planted there for us and also could be used in the next episode as some way of communicating.
Yeah, telling Rick, oh, hey, I'm at this place. This is what's happening.
Yeah, you know? When she goes to find Negan, she could use the walkie-talkie to tell Rick where they are or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we cut to Rick and Aaron waking up in a truck because they're scavenging and they look out on something like, oh, that wasn't there before. So unless they were in the dark when they got into the truck or they just really were blind, I don't know how they could have missed the sign, but it's okay, whatever.
You see, that was one of the scenes that was kind of weird. Like, that didn't make any sense, which I find kind of issue with. And also, yeah, like, was it there? Was it nighttime and they didn't see it? And also, they said, oh, that wasn't there before, and they don't even show us.
Exactly. We have to wait till the end of the show.
Like, what is the point of doing that dramatic, oh, I'm not going to show you. Like, just show us. Like, who cares?
Why are you dragging this on for?
Like, it didn't provide any point. There was no value to that.
Because we didn't even get in past the sign point. We just saw that what could have been.
It was just a sign. It was just a sign that says, you know...
if I'm dead, that's the only reason why you're here right now.
Or I think it was the other one that they hopped over, which said...
I know, but that's what the payoff was.
Right. So, you know.
Yeah.
Giving us that suspense.
And then after that, we have the saviors on the road, the same ones with Carl and Jesus in...
If he was Hispanic, he would be called Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're waiting for the walkers to go by. And the man, one of the guys says, at least Negan's smart enough not to let that mess near us. That Joey rigged the hard way trips, demo sticks and RPGs. Maybe it takes it down, takes him out. So I don't know what they were talking about. That they set up some crossing for walkers to get out of the way on the roads. They set up like some traps or something.
Yeah, I think, this is setting up a lot of things, and it's possibly setting up two things, but one thing it's setting up for later on in the episode where Mark didn't do his job. I think Mark was supposed to do something with these walkers. So basically what they're trying to tell us is that there's this herd out there.
Yeah.
Wandering around. It's pretty big.
Probably a pretty big one, yeah.
And Negan and his group, the saviors, have been dealing with it, right? Somehow.
Mm-hmm.
By distracting the herd and moving it away from the compound. And it sounds like they use like explosives and things like that to lure it out of the way. And also later on, one of the guys, I think Fat Joey says that to Negan, oh, you know, the walkers, we screwed up or something. It's a mess. And I think it's because Mark didn't show up and he went to see his wife instead. So he didn't work. He wasn't doing his job. And that's why the walkers got off track.
Mark is the guy that has the burn on his face now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, that then yeah, he screwed up. He didn't just go try to see his ex-wife. He screwed up for a lot of people.
Yeah. So these guys are talking about this big herd. And it's possible mm-hmm. that we might see this herd
again
in the future play a role somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like Negan is providing a quote unquote
service. Maybe that's how they're going to take down the compound. They're going to find that herd and bring it back to the Savior camp and take him out. Who knows?
Could be. Or maybe they, because Mark didn't do his job and the herd is starting, went towards the Savior camp, they get overrun or something. Or maybe, you know, while Negan is away from the camp, who knows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's so many things that could happen.
I just hope they do one of them. And it turns out good.
I don't think it's going to happen the next episode. I think I don't think anything amazing is going to happen next episode, but we'll talk about that at the end.
Mm-hmm. So they drive off, continue driving.
Oh, by the way, so Jesus and so those guys were saying that they were there all night. We've been here all night, they said. Yeah.
That's what they were saying? So they've been sitting in that truck
all night,
waiting for this herd to pass for all night. Wow.
Holy
smokes.
But that means that Jesus and Carl were sitting in there in the back all night.
Dude, what if they needed to pee?
Exactly.
Dang. Oh, man. That's
what if they needed
rough.
To pee? I guess they would pee on themselves or something.
Or they just like step right outside of the truck and not try to get seen.
Or maybe what if those guys just go in the back to get hungry and they want to go in and grab some
then
food?
Then they're screwed, Dad.
Yeah, anyway, it was...
But it didn't come to that, so it worked out.
I guess they were lucky.
Yeah. So, yeah, they drive off and Jesus sabotages the booze.
The drinks,
so
that when
they lift it up. And they drive by a statue, which prompts Jesus to actually start marking their trail, which I don't think maple syrup will work. I don't know how you're going to notice that.
And how much do you have of it, you know?
Because, yeah,
you can make
it. Yeah, I don't know. Sure. Okay. Why not? Suspension of belief, you know, whatever. And, you know, he says, okay, we should make a run for it so we can come up on them slower and take our time. And then Carl was like, I'm scared. What if I can't? And then Jesus is like, no, just follow me.
Mm-hmm.
Show me first. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then Carl's just waving goodbye like, haha, sucker.
Yeah.
What did you think of that? What did you think of them separating?
Well, it was an accident.
Yeah.
It wasn't an accident. It was on purpose. I mean, Carl pulled a fast one on him, right?
Yeah, completely.
So I don't think it was a good idea.
I guess he just didn't want him to get killed. He didn't want Jesus to get killed he's trying to take down Negan.
No.
Oh.
Because Jesus wanted him to get off the truck.
Mm-hmm.
And Carl didn't want to get off the truck. Carl wanted to go in and kill Negan. So he basically didn't want Jesus to stop him.
Okay.
That's what happened, I think.
Yes, yeah. So they arrive. So Carl arrives at the Savior base, and yeah, he hears Negan talking to them. And then, yeah, they talked about something about screwing up the redirect, which is probably the horde that they were talking about, the huge one, saying that someone messed up something. And they're going to unload the truck. A guy picks up the booze. It falls, notices Carl. Carl shoots the man.
What did you think of that whole scene?
First of all, Carl's shooting humans. When was the last time he hurt a human being? Did he go with them? He didn't go with them to the outpost, did he?
No, he didn't.
Yeah, this is like, he's going hardcore.
But did he go hardcore, though?
Well, he was just trying to... Well, I mean, yes! He freaking killed people, and
he wimped out on Negan, though.
I know. No, he didn't. He was about to shoot and sew a lunch for him.
Okay, so that's how you're excusing him?
I am. Look, Negan was scared. He was hiding behind somebody.
After? He wasn't hiding all the time.
No, he walked into view and hid behind someone as he was talking to someone. Because it's harder to shoot a moving target and kill them. So when he was stationary, he hid behind someone. He said, you know, you scared me.
Yeah, I'm just saying that Carl hesitated too much. I think he could have...
Oh, yeah, because he realized he's way out of his depth, but he tried at least.
Yeah, he tried. He could have killed Negan is what I'm saying. He could have done something to Negan.
Yeah, he could have.
He hesitated.
Again, he was scared. Yeah, he hesitated. He's not a trained killer. He doesn't kill people on the daily, you know?
So on the Talking Dead, they had Gail Ann Hurd, who's the executive producer, and they had
Chandler Riggs.
No, they asked Gail Ann Hurd, like, okay, so why didn't Carl just mow down everybody and kill Negan right away? Okay. I guess they had to throw that question out there because I think a lot of people would bring up the same point. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, an opportunity.
Because if you think about it, you know, Carl, mm-hmm. he wasn't coming back. It was a suicide mission.
Yeah.
So yeah. Since he was a suicide mission, she just did everything he could to kill Negan. And Gail Ann Hurd said that, well, Carl he's not evil. Carl's not evil. And he's not a ruthless killer.
Mm-hmm.
So he killed the one kid at the prison, you know, from Woodbury, you know, that he cold-blooded killed him. But other than that, he hasn't really killed a lot of people. Like, he hasn't gotten into that situation. So she chalked it up to that, you know, that he stopped because, you know, he missed and he didn't kill Negan. And then if he would have continued, they would have taken him out, and then he would have lost his opportunity. So he stopped because maybe he could find another opportunity later to kill him. I don't know.
Maybe that's what it was.
He calculated, right? He didn't...
Because it makes sense.
If you think about what he said when he came out of the truck, he said, oh, nobody else needs to get hurt. I just want Negan.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, is not a comment you say if you're a ruthless killer and you just want to kill everyone, right?
Exactly. He only has one named...
Yeah,
one name, and then... Which is smart that he said that, because then he's been alone with Negan ever since. So if he could just find a way to get something to kill him, which will be really hard, obviously, but...
He's easily influenced, I think.
Carl? Yeah.
And the longer he stayed with Negan, the less decisive he became for killing him, right?
Yeah. So this brings up an important question. Do you think that, or do you want Negan to take Carl under his wing in a way?
Well, I think that is what's happening. I think that is the gradual...
That's what Negan wants, too. He's saying, look at all the cool things I can do.
I think it's the beginning.
Yeah.
It's.
I mean, that is Negan's plan for everyone else, is to say, you can work for me, and this is the perks you can get if you do what I say, or you could be the pit and whatever, and work for points and all that. But he has a very, very special case where... Carl is a serial killer in the making, as he said before, and he's Rick's kid, and he's still trying to get back at Rick. And this kid is perfect to manipulate and turn into whatever he wants, you know, a killing machine. And he's never had that before because he's impressed with how badass Carl is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not surprised if he's going to completely try to take him under his wing.
So Jeffrey Dean Morgan was interviewed on a publicity video, and this is what he had to say about his character and the Carl relationship.
As a fan of the comic book, I was very excited to kind of explore this relationship between Negan and Carl. I think we've already seen that Negan kind of thinks this kid is something special. And this is a kid that will pull a gun and is shooting my man. And normally Negan was just going to, that's it, I'm going to kill you. But with this kid, there's something about him that he respects and likes so much that he starts having these kind of almost fatherly talks with. But he doesn't talk to Carl like a kid. I think he really actually listens and talks to him as he would a contemporary. In the coming years, that story, how that plays out, is going to be awesome. I don't know how it is going to end, but this is the beginning of it, and it's a special relationship.
So a special relationship. And notice he mentioned that in the coming years.
Yeah.
Which means that Negan's not going away anytime soon.
Well, he's not going away for sure.
And
yeah, I'm really excited to see. I kind of want to see what happens if he would take him under his wing and the kind of person he'd be like.
I'm more interested to see what Carl does, like how Carl plays that in his mind. Like, does he go to Rick and say,
thing is, he's already a little upset with how Rick is being so passive about everything. So
he's already mad at Rick.
Yeah, maybe he won't be completely seduced by Negan, but he will definitely pulled more farther away from Rick.
Yeah, because
I know
he's mad at him because Rick's not doing anything to fight against Negan. But then he goes, would he go to Negan and say, okay, well, I guess you're you're better for some things. I don't know. It's weird. Mm-hmm. He's just as Negan says, oh, I forget, you're just a kid. He has the kid mentality. So who knows how he's juggling these things in his head, right? He grew up in the apocalypse, really. I mean, when he was tiny when he joined the show, and, you know, he doesn't have a lot of background as to what life was before the apocalypse. Very little.
Yeah, right? Exactly. So the main storyline is between Negan and Carl, and Negan showing Carl around his little factory and kingdom. And he really kind of hits almost every point, if you notice. He hits the when he's talking to everyone, talking about, oh, everyone gets food now, an extra serving of food. Or with his wives especially, which was very interesting, the whole interaction that went down with that. And then talking to him one-on-one, and then teaching him how to have this male-on-male banter that apparently Rick hasn't taught him.
Yeah, that's funny.
It's still all laced with a little bit of torture, because when he got the baseball bat and he was swinging it and making Carl sing, that was really messed up. It's like, ooh, too soon.
And he really hits Carl on his eye, right? Big time. At the beginning, he says, hey, you got your dad's this same stink eye that your dad has, but it's only half as good because, you know, you only have one eye.
Yeah, but it really gets on him on that. And you could tell that even though Carl is as tough as he is, he still is insecure because he is a teenager, you know? And that eye hole, he hasn't really come to accept it for what it is yet and embrace it, which I think Negan, if he does anything good for Carl, it's to help him be confident in the fact that he survived something like this, and it's wear it as like a badge of honor and not as a handicap.
Mm-hmm. We'll see.
But yeah.
Perhaps Negan forcing him to take the bandage off will give more confidence. Inherently gives confidence to Carl, and then Carl might start walking around without the bandage.
Yeah. You know?
And it's like, well,
as long as his hair doesn't infect the wound.
Yeah. And then Rick is like, oh, how come you don't have the bandage on? I don't know. I like it this way. Meanwhile, it's like Negan working at him, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. Do you think he was really apologetic when he realized he was making Carl cry? That was a genuine apology and a genuine, oh, I forget you're just a kid.
It's hard to tell with Negan.
I like to think it is a general thing.
So you think
a genuine thing?
So you think this is kind of the real side of Negan or coming out?
I mean, I don't think it's a real side of Negan. I mean, I just think it's just him being like, oh crap, that was too far. He's just a kid.
Yeah.
I gotta go slower with him. It's like recorrecting.
But you know, the way he says it doesn't come off as sincere at all though.
The sorry?
It still comes off as a douchebag.
Yeah, true. But I still, he's like, forget about it.
I know, like, oh, no, forget about it.
Yeah, so he says...
I noticed a lot of this episode, there was a lot of dialogue and scenes where the F word would have been more appropriate than other things.
Well, I mean, it is TV still, so...
But if it was a HBO show or something, they would have the F word without problem, right? And it would fit more appropriately. Like, I'm not a big fan of the F word or swearing in general, but I can appreciate when it's in there. If it serves the character and the dialogue, I accept it. You know what I'm saying? And in this episode, it seems like a lot of things that Negan said, and even there was a line that one of the other characters said, justified using the F word, you know?
Oh.
Like, for example, here he says, Carl says, what are you going to do to me? And then Negan says, I'm not telling you. He says, screw you, kid. Seriously, screw you. Like, that's so weak. That line is weak. Screw you, kids. Yeah. Screw you. Like, come on. That's weak.
I know. Yeah. I mean, they're limited. Yeah.
There's a bunch of lines that, and then before that, he says, well, I won't have time to screw any of my wives today. Well, he says, maybe one. And he looks at Dwight.
Oh, God. He really loves digging at that wound, man.
Yeah, Dwight. He
loves messing with people and seeing how far he can go.
Mm-hmm. And Negan walks up to the balcony and says, free veggies for everyone. No points needed.
And then he looks at Carl and then he says, see, they're still kneeling. As you were.
So that was so Negan is giving him the grand tour, and he's touching, basically, like you said, he's touching on every single point there, right?
Yeah.
So one of them is, hey, Carl's...
How he treats his people that he's his minions.
I think Carl is impressed because every time he shows him something, he just sits there and looks at it for a while. Because after the people kneeled, Negan walks away. Carla's just standing there looking at all the people like, wow, this is kind of cool. Like everyone's Negan's subject here.
Yeah.
So.
And then even when after he meets the wives, he's like, are they all your wives? Really all your wives?
Yeah. He's like wow, impressed. That's cool. Yeah. Kind of. It sounded like that.
So what's it called? A harem?
Yes, that's when you have a lot of wives.
I didn't know what that was. I'm asking you as a father, what does harem mean?
If someone says to you, Jasmine, do you want to be part of my harem? Say no.
I thought it was like harem, like a dance. Like a belly dance or something.
See, this is why I can't have you alone in a faraway city, because you're gonna end up being part of some harem and you won't even know it. You
think, this is a yoga class.
This is cool.
Yeah, so he takes them to his like brothel place, and
no, it's a harem. It's not a brothel. Even though he asked, he told Dwight in a previous episode, "Hey, you can have any pick you want of my harem, of my women." Because we were wondering, right? Remember?
Yeah.
We're like, oh, does he have one wife? Like, what are all these women? Like, what's all this about, right?
Why is he so easy to just marry everybody?
Yeah, exactly.
Now we know why, because he can have as many as he wants.
So marrying them kind of makes them, it's kind of quote-unquote legal.
And off limits to other people.
Right, too. Like when he said to that other woman, Amber, oh, one rule is you can't cheat on me.
Mm.
So that means that you're my wife now.
You don't want to break your vows.
You're my wife now. So you're cheating by being with Mark, which is your real husband. But anyway.
Right. So this world is so messed up. Yeah. So, Negan's talking to Sherry, who I seems like to be the head woman. She's probably climbed herself to the top of the ranks with all the women, because he goes to her asking about another wife. And Sherry, I think he likes Sherry, and she's where she is, where she can like confide in him and tell him and keep up to date with all this, is because she challenges him.
Mm.
She's the only one that seems to challenge him, you know, and ask things of him.
Well, I think like if you're in Negan's position, you don't want everybody to say yes, yes, and just do whatever. Like you want a bit of, because otherwise it might get boring and stuff.
Yeah.
You want a little bit.
Yeah, like just like later when he was hitting on Olivia, and Olivia slapped him, he's like, oh, that makes me 50% more into you, because he likes that.
He likes the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
His life is so easy, living the cushy life.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And things come easy to him, so he likes that challenge, I guess.
Yeah. And Negan was like, what happened with Amber and Mark? Okay, he skipped it on the redirect to be with Amber, which is confirms your theory.
Yeah.
And then she's like, go easy on her. She made a mistake. And she's so young too. She should have thrown her. She's so young. And then he says, have I ever hit one of you? And she says, no, but you, there is worse. I know you, there's worse.
So you could feel the tension in that room though, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And then he goes, talks to Amber, which is very interesting, because he says, you know, you could leave and go back to Mark, but you can't cheat on me.
But the thing is that I think going back to the same job, he said, I think they're part of the Walker crew or something. I think they're doing something like...
It's a job that you don't want.
Yeah, because once he said, oh, we'll put you on the same job, she started crying, right? It's like, like she doesn't want to do whatever he was saying that she could do again. Who knows? Exactly. It was probably some very terrible thing.
She's like, no, I'll stay. If you get to be safe, you get fed, you know, you're taken care of, you get to hang out with a bunch of women. And so she's like, no, I love you, Negan. And then Negan's like, I don't know why you're crying, because in the end, you're still okay. Nothing's wrong with you. You don't, it's Mark who's in trouble now.
She's crying because she's realizing that what a horrible position she's in and a horrible life she has. Daryl is paraded around in this episode as kind of Negan's slave.
Yeah, just like the janitor.
Right.
Yeah. He comes in with a tray of food and he sees Carl. And, you know, just this, I'm like, oh my God, Daryl's probably like, what the hell is this kid doing here?
I think the whole point of getting Daryl out there was to show, Negan wanted to show Carl that, hey, look, this guy who you thought was pretty awesome, Daryl, who is this cool guy who goes on all these missions, and you look up to him. Look at him now. He's my servant.
Look where he is. Yeah, exactly.
See how much power I have. Making Dwight give Daryl the food tray and bring up that was one way of Negan to try to show to Carl how much power he has. On the internet, there was some people that thought that Daryl and Carl, okay, this is again like that silly Morse code thing that Daryl was doing with his eyelashes, with his eyelids.
Oh my gosh, okay.
From a previous episode where Daryl was flashing his eyelids in a Morse code, which was totally false. People noticed that as Daryl was giving the tray to Carl, he whispered something to Carl, who knows what. But I don't know. That could be not.
If it was true, then they would have made it more obvious, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think they would have been like, oh, so, well, only the extreme theorists can figure it out.
Yeah
right. And let the world know. And so Negan leaves with, you know, and Daryl and Dwight, they all leave. And then everyone's like, oh, my God. And they just recover.
Which shows all the tension, right?
Yeah. And Sherry is crying. The thing is, that's funny. She's into him.
You think so?
I think she's kind of into him. I just tried to read the body language. The only reason she was crying is because Dwight saw and then she felt guilty because she's like, oh, my God, I like this monster.
Well, that's an interesting interpretation.
Oh, you didn't think so?
Well, it could be. I'm not completely denying it. I'm just saying that.
I don't think she's like in love with him. I'm just saying that she's kind of into him.
There's also Stockholm syndrome, which is, you know, you kind of have this relationship with your captor, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But
because the reason I say that is because later when Dwight and Gary are having a conversation in the hallway, she's like, oh, she said we should go and then no one's going to see us. Nothing's happening. And she says, yeah, nothing is happening. And she walks away because she's like, she almost seemed like she was over
Dwight,
not over Dwight, but just like accepted with the realities and it's better off just sticking to this and accepting it.
Yeah. And also Dwight accused her of betraying Amber, which in reality, that's not what happened.
No,
she didn't really say anything. And that's Sherry said to Dwight, that's not what happened. And then Dwight's like, yeah, whatever's helped you sleep at night. So he's trying to make her feel guilty. Like,
yeah,
really?
Because Dwight's the last one
who should be talking.
I know, right? Because then he's like, you know, even if you think it was just going to affect us, you're always climbing to survive. You have to climb on someone else's back.
Yeah.
Which is a very, it seems like kind of the theme that this camp has. If you want to get anywhere, you got to climb on someone else. Because think about it. What Dwight did at the beginning when he was making that sandwich, he was climbing on the backs of other people's hard work and bullying them.
Exactly, yeah.
To get what he wants.
As I watched the whole thing, the whole episode, I did feel that, yes, Sherry was behaving kind of weird. I know she was crying. I don't know why she was. I mean, she was crying.
Everything was so intense.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is I could see how you could interpret that, saying that she's kind of accepting the situation she's in, and she's kind of sick and tired of them meeting in the hallway, in the stairwell kind of thing. You know, it's like, what's the point? I felt like it's like, well, like you said, what's the point of us meeting in this stair? Like, what are we doing here, right?
Yeah, like, what is this?
Like, let's just accept our fate. I'll stay with Negan and you just do your thing. And then what are we trying to do here? And it just felt, it came across like Sherry was frustrated with the whole thing. Like, she didn't care anymore or something. Which I think...
She's kind of given up and, like, things have changed.
Yeah. Things are changing, yeah. However, I don't think it was Sherry that gave Daryl the note at the end, though.
I don't think so either. Yeah.
I think it was Dwight. Do you think so?
Really? Dwight?
I have a feeling it was Dwight.
Why do you say that?
The only reason is because of the sound of the shoes. It felt like boots, like heavy boots. It didn't feel like a light shoe of a heel or something of a woman's shoe. It felt like a heavy boot, so like a guy, you know. Because we saw Sherry usually walks around in a dress and fancy shoes, so maybe her footsteps sound lighter.
I could see that. Maybe he's just fed up
Negan's always harassing him, so he doesn't really like Negan, mm-hmm. right? So, and he knows, no, you know, he knows that Negan is gone from the camp.
Yeah, that's the only reason why that's the reason why it didn't work last time, because Negan was there, but now that Negan's gone, it's a perfect opportunity.
I mean, it could be another trap. Who knows?
True. But he's going to take it, I think.
And I also felt that key was a key to a motorcycle.
Because at first I thought it's the key to the door, but they unlocked the door and walked away.
It seemed like a metal thing with a plastic handle on it. So it looked either a car key or most likely a motorcycle key.
Mm-hmm.
Something's going to happen with Daryl. If he takes the bait and tries to escape, that'll be great. So
after Sherry cries,
yes,
and drinks some alcohol, Negan and Carl are in the bedroom, and Carl is surprised by Negan's wives. And, you know, Negan's explaining himself, you know, we can do whatever we want now, and then threatens him and makes fun of him about his eye. Carl's still hesitating. And, you know, Carl, Negan always tries to pull the, you killed two of my men, so therefore you have to do whatever you want for me. And always kind of like owing.
He kind of has a point.
True.
He's using that as leverage. He's holding it over his head, right?
Yeah.
But the thing is, One thing was important about what Negan said when they walked into the room about the wives thing, right?
Yeah.
He said, why follow the same old rules? Why not make life better?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, and he says, speaking of, and then he says, sit. So what I'm thinking he's saying, to follow what I just said, you know, why follow the same old rules? Why not make life better? He's breaking his rule of everybody has to get punished. Because his rule is you have to punish people, right?
And this is a special case because we have a kid here who's in the compound.
Right. So he's saying, you know, I'm not following the same old rules. I'm making life better. So he's like, okay, instead of killing you, I'm going to try to do something different with you. And as Jeffrey Dean Morgan said in that interview that, you know, he thinks Carl is special, he's going to try to do something different.
Yeah. Which is why I think he was genuine in saying his apologies to him, because he's trying to figure out what to do kind of teach him.
Yeah, so I think he's trying to win him over, kind of, and convert him or whatever to his side. It was funny how he thought Carl was a birthday present.
Yeah, it's like unwrapping. That was funny.
He really wanted to see what the eye socket. What did you think of that whole effect of
I wanted to see what was under there, and I was like, oh my gosh, it looks so gross.
So
I was trying to figure out what's what.
So you're the same as Negan then, you're evil like him.
Yeah, I am. No, come on. This is a perfect excuse to see how his eye's been doing, you know what I mean? It looked gross. And I wanted to know, like, okay, so is there gonna be a hole, or is the skin just gonna cover the hole? Like, how is it gonna heal?
I think it's gonna probably heal somehow with it's gonna get it looks like it well the way they did the special effect, it looked like it was filled in with stuff, right?
Yeah. It's not completely covered though. They're still exposing.
There's some red stuff in there.
Yeah. Ew.
You know, I noticed when Carl was crying that tears were coming out of his other eye. Yeah.
No, I think it was just blood. I was wondering too, is like, is that because his tear ducts would have been destroyed, Dad, wouldn't have been?
Probably, but maybe it was a blooper. I don't know. But I saw tears coming from the eye socket.
Maybe. Maybe it's the makeup. Like the tear came underneath the makeup.
He's that good of a crier. He cried right through the prosthetic.
It was real tears. Yeah.
Negan apologizes. And he says, it's easy to forget you're just a kid. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. I was just screwing around. So again,
we screw around.
I'm not sure if he was honest or what. You know. And he also gave him a compliment.
Yeah, saying that, you know, it may not be the hit with the ladies, but no one's going to screw with you looking like that.
So giving him a boost of confidence, saying, hey, you know, own it, right?
Yeah, own it. You look like a badass. Which is true. And
so this is the difference between Negan and Rick, right?
Yeah, Rick hasn't said anything, I don't think.
Rick is more like the nurturing kind of, you know, I'll help you along. But he doesn't, and also playing down the violence of what's going on around them, and you know, it's like, yeah, you got to kill, but if you have to, and stuff like this. Mm-hmm. Negan is kind of playing up the badassery side of him, saying, "Yeah, you're awesome. You know, shoot and, you know, go for what you want. Like, you came here to attack me, you know, instead of sitting around and whining that you missed your prom, you know, you come here.
You're proactive. Yeah.
You take action. That's awesome. I like that. Whereas Rick would say the opposite. No, you stay home, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Don't do crazy things.
Protect him in a way, even though he doesn't need any more protecting.
So maybe that's something that Carl's wants to hear. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating to see if Carl, the things that Negan was saying, if he actually vocalizes it towards Rick. Because then we'll see that then it's proof that, hey, yeah, there was some influence. Because if he goes to Rick, yeah, Negan's evil and stuff, but, you know, they're surviving and they got stuff. He's doing a good job managing his people. He got rules. Maybe we should use the same rules.
You know, yeah.
If he tells Rick some of the stuff that Negan is saying, then that'll be the tell, right?
Yeah. Insight gives insight.
Or maybe Carl's just playing along. Who knows?
We won't know until the next episode because Carl's still trying to process everything just like we are too.
Yeah. It's like, what's going on? So Joey comes in and brings Negan his bat and there's some joking around and stuff.
Yeah. And then, you know, Yeah, and then after he leaves, he's like, see, this is the stuff your dad should be teaching you.
Yeah, the good stuff. Yeah, right.
And the fact that he's saying, and the fact that he's saying that is like, I could be your teacher too.
He's basically saying that your dad doesn't know what he's doing. I'm a real dad.
Whatever.
I'm a better dad than he is.
Sure. Okay. And then he's like, sing me a song.
Yeah.
And as he's swinging the bat. And that was rough.
Humiliates him. So let's hear a little bit of Carl singing here.
You are my sunshine.
Go on.
My only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray.
Do not let me distract you, young man.
Never know, dear, how much I love you. So please don't take my sunshine away.
That's pretty good. Lucille loves being sung to. It's about the only thing she loves more than bashing in brains. Weird, huh?
Weird, huh? He just made up a story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this is the scene that reminded me of Pulp Fiction, where Samuel L. Jackson goes to these guys' house and he asks someone to talk and say, he's asking them a question. And then while the guy's talking, he kills somebody with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
So let me play that.
I just want you to know how sorry we are that things got so fucked up with us and Mr. Wallace. When we got into this thing with the best intentions, really. I never...
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break your concentration? I didn't mean to do that. Please, continue. You were saying something about best intentions?
Yeah.
That was good.
Basically, it reminds me of the same thing. Carl's trying to sing and he's swinging his bat like...
Obviously, he's going to get distracted.
That's the same bat that killed, you know, Abraham and...
And Glenn.
And
yeah.
Glenn. So,
and he's doing it on purpose, obviously.
Of course. You know, reminding him of, you know, the evilness.
Yeah. And this is also, like, he also said, like, explained how he had to kill his mom. And that is that just made him feel more like, wow, Carl's been through crap.
Yeah. Yeah. So that kind of impressed... I think that impressed Negan.
Yeah. Exactly. I thought so too.
It's like, whoa, okay. So you're more badass than I thought. Notice that Negan's bedroom was pretty fancy.
Yeah, I had like this old like animal carcasses and crab heads, like deer heads and
nice fancy woodwork and
yeah. It had drapes on the windows.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's a factory, they made it look like a room, a bedroom.
Which is basically all the stuff that he's been scavenging, right? When, like, you notice when the people went to Hilltop, they took his painting.
Yeah.
And
they take the nice stuff, too, because they can. They have a place to put it.
Yeah. So when they that's what they went to Alexandria, they took some of the furniture. all that furniture, that fancy furniture and stuff, it goes to furnish Negan's rooms.
Yeah, I mean, look at the rooms that Negan was trying to take Daryl to, right. Saying just say who you are, and it was just this fully full furnished room.
Yeah, all this stuff comes from who knows where, like it's scavenged around, you know.
Yeah, places like Alexandria.
Mm-hmm. So Negan is showing Carl how awesome he is, and also showing to. Oh, I totally thought that Negan was going to burn Carl's face. Did you think so?
I didn't even know they were going to the burning. I was still trying to figure out where they were going. No, well, I didn't think he was. Well, maybe a little bit, yeah.
Because at the end of the singing, he goes, okay, it's ready. The iron is ready.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, this is what he's building up towards. He's gonna iron.
Mutilate him even farther and further.
Carl's face. But it turns out he didn't. He was working on Mark, which that was the whole storyline that was building up to this point, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, the behind-the-scenes storyline.
And he's telling... So he's kind of showing Carl and us, the audience, all the different... How the saviors work, basically. How the whole...
Yeah. How the whole neighborhood is run.
Yeah, how he's been able to accumulate this power and control...
And to keep it sustained.
Yeah, and... I mean, a lot of people say, well, why doesn't just someone kill him? I don't know. Maybe the system is so well...
put together that everyone is scared.
Yeah, and also, if Negan goes away, someone else could take his place.
Yeah.
And continue running the system just like he was, with all the rules and everything, you know? Who knows?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so they go to the burning of Mark's face, and he has this quote, "We survive, we provide security to others. We bring civilization back to this world. We are the saviors. We can't do it without the rules. Rules make it all work. If you try to skirt the rules, then it's the iron for you."
Yeah.
Again. Burn Mark's face. He passes out and pees himself.
Ask Daryl to clean up the mess, which again shows Carl that, look, Daryl is just a cleanup guy. He doesn't do anything here. I've completely broken Daryl. That's what he's telling. He's trying to show... Carl.
But obviously, we won't know if he actually did or not if Daryl takes the bait to leave. Maybe he won't. Maybe he is broken. He's not going to take it to leave.
When I saw Mark, I was thinking of you because I was thinking that you'd probably say, oh, they picked a good-looking guy to burn his face.
That's exactly what I thought of. How did you know? Yeah, I was like, oh, they had to pick the good-looking guy to make it worse that he's burning his face.
Yeah.
That's funny.
It was done well. I like that. I like that they actually showed, you know, the stretching of the skin.
Just
It reminded me like, you know, when you pull a slice of pizza up.
And the
cheese melting.
Comes off. Oh, man.
It reminded me of that in his face. Yeah. And then, of course, you know, Negan says, again, let Mark's face be a daily reminder. After that scene, they go back to Negan's room. And Carl says, I think you should just jump out the window to save me the trouble of killing you. I think you're not saying what you're going to do because you're not going to do anything. If you knew anything, you would kill us, but you can't.
And then, you know, he's like, is that a challenge? Maybe I can't, but...
And I think what Carl said has some point, because if you knew who we were, you would kill us right now because you realize that we're not someone that will just... passively sit around and just
wait for you guys to just suck us dry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he's only half right because Rick is doing that. He's finding supplies for Negan and you know what I'm saying?
But it makes sense for him to be, it makes sense for the leader to follow everything just to make sure because then Negan's already under the impression, well, if Rick is getting me all these supplies and is following suit and then his followers will follow in line too.
Yeah.
But he doesn't know how deep the wound has gone and how unaffected some people are and will not bow down.
Who knows? Maybe Rick finds, after he finds this cache of weapons or wherever he's gone with Aaron, maybe he changes his mind saying, hey, we found a bunch of guns.
Mm-hmm.
I decided to attack Negan. I don't know. We'll see. So there was one scene, which is kind of weird, where Negan's driving off. And of course, Daryl says, you know, don't touch Carl. And then Negan says, oh, punish him, put him back in the room.
Mm-hmm.
There's Jesus is on the roof, right? which we don't know how he got there, but okay, I accept that he's there. But then when he drives off,
he disappears. But Daryl looked up and he saw, probably saw Jesus. But you know, Jesus, that's how he does things. He can just disappear really fast. He's probably in the truck.
There was people all around the truck.
I know.
Okay, thank you.
I know. It's just a show. That's what, of course they're going to do this.
I think it was silly.
Baloney.
And they should have edited it better. They could have shown it, him getting off the roof into the back later as the truck's driving away or something.
Dad, they had to. They had to. It was for the effect.
I think they're just trying to make Jesus into this super stealthy magician type person that he can do anything and he can, you know, no one can catch him basically.
Yeah.
Because he was pretty good with doing that when he was, you know, stealing Rick and Daryl's truck. So I guess we can accept that. But it's good to see that Jesus is hanging around. And he's probably at Alexandria now, right?
Jesus, he probably went back because now he knows where they are. That's why he went out in the first place.
Yeah.
Was to figure out where they are, where they're from. Yeah. So Negan goes back to Alexandria and, like we said, talks to Olivia. And I thought it was funny. She's like, we're practically starving here.
You mean?
Not really.
Not really.
Just makes fun of her.
Man, Olivia is super sensitive,
she's
huh?
She's so sensitive. She cries and blah, 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 blah. And then he feels bad, which is BS. And then that whole thing exchange happens.
So I have an audio clip of from the actress who plays Olivia. Her name is Anne Mahoney. And she talks about the whole slapping scene. And the scene where you see her slapping him, that's actually real contact there. So let's see what she had to say about that.
So in the scene where I had to slap Jeffrey Dean Morgan, we were doing a bunch of warm-up takes to make sure that we knew what we were doing before we actually started slapping. And Jeffrey was like, you know, just slap me. Just go ahead and hit me. And I was like, look, Olivia is a meek little thing, but I'm a strong girl. It's going to hurt. He's like, it's all right. So, you know, we kept practicing on this one take. I was like, all right, I don't know if I should, but Jeffrey told me to, so I'm going to go ahead. And I slapped the out of him. So much so that right when the take cut, all the crew and all the executive producers came running out of Video Village going, oh, she slapped the out of you. Oh, and Jeffrey was like, Jesus. I was like, I told you. I warned you. Yeah. I grew up with brothers. So.
Here's my thing about that. Like, okay. So, do you know I thought that's cool. But like, if they have to do that 30 takes, did they even use that take?
They said that was the actual take that they used. The one where she slapped him really hard.
Oh, okay. So, because sometimes, because in acting, we're taught that, you know, method acting is dangerous and is not a good idea. Because if you're slap, especially with like stage combat type stuff, because if you have to keep slapping this person for take after take after take, it gets dangerous and you can get hurt. And then like they might not even use the shot. So I guess that was a special case. But
well, it sounded like the way she said it, that she only did that once. Because good,
that's fine. Yeah.
And that's the one they used apparently. She said that if you look in the episode, you'll see that Jeffrey Dean Morgan is like caught off guard, like, oh, that actually hurt.
Which is good for the scene. Yeah.
Yeah. So I assume that they were practicing without hitting and then they finally did it with the real thing. Who knows? That sounds like what they did. Yeah. So it was kind of a reciprocation thing where Negan goes to Alexandria and then, you know, asks Carl to get shown around. And in one of the rooms was Judith, and Carl says, oh, that's just the water heater or whatever.
Yeah, he's like, oh, no. He's like, come on, kid.
Show me everything.
Yeah. Yeah, Carl's face, he's like terrified. He's like, oh, my God. And yeah, they have this whole like
tour. Do you think that the stuff that they showed was stuff that doesn't exist at the Savior's compound?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Like running water?
Yeah, carpet. They don't have carpet, and they have like little games. I think that was just for fun, the dartboard. But yeah, they don't have carpet.
Now I get what the dartboard symbolizes. Because you remember in the previous episode, Carl was trying to shoot darts, and he couldn't get the bullseye?
Mm-hmm.
And then now they show Negan getting the bullseye. It's like a stat, like a jab at Carl, like, hey, like, I can do it. You can't.
Exactly. He's like, ooh. Yeah.
And then the running water, I think, is going to play in the next episode where, because Negan's been mentioning many times before, like, you know, I need to shave my beard, right? Mm-hmm. So I think the running water kind of thing is going to inspire him to shave his beard, and maybe he might start shaving. Maybe he, in the next episode, we'll see him shaving or whatever.
That'll get rid of his, like, his edge, though. His beard is already pretty trimmed.
And the carpet reminded me of a scene from Die Hard where Bruce Willis arrives after getting off his flight to the hotel before all the carnage.
Oh, yeah. I was like, when his feet were cut up?
Right. Well, that's why he's barefoot in the whole movie, because he took off his shoes to put his feet in the carpet, because somebody told him that, hey, if you roll your toes on the carpet, it's relaxing, right? So he took his shoes off and he's rolling his feet on the carpet, and then the whole hell breaks loose and he never gets a chance to put his shoes back on.
Exactly. Oh, poor guy. That was like the hardest thing to watch. It's like the running gag.
So yeah, that reminded me of that scene where he's like curling his toes on the carpet. I mean, I know everybody's making a big deal about, you know, Negan holding Judith, but I don't think that's a huge deal. Like, I don't even, to be honest, I don't even know if Rick is going to make it back in the next episode.
I know, but it's just the fact that it's like Negan is taking Rick's place,
right,
and playing house is what's uncomfortable. That's what was uncomfortable about it, at least for me.
Well, it also shows that his desire to be like that father figure, you know, like you said, taking his place.
Yeah.
And also, don't forget that Sherry did a pregnancy test.
Yeah.
So I think Negan was trying to have a baby with Sherry. So maybe he does want a baby. And now he sees Judith and is like, hey, maybe I can adopt this baby.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Or something. Like, maybe he likes babies is what I'm saying.
Yeah. He wants... Yeah, because Rick has everything he doesn't have. Those things that we're pointing at. Yeah, that's why he went to Judith. He's like... Wow, he has a baby. I don't have that. I want one of those. So yeah, that's why he looked at him. That's why that baby was in there. Part of the, oh, what do I not have? Let's go on the tour.
Right.
He's like, I could get used to this.
So yeah, so I don't even know if Rick is going to make it back to confront, to actually see Negan with Judith and all this.
No, because he said, where's Rick? And then Olivia said, oh, looking for supplies for you. He says, oh, okay, great. I'll wait.
Yeah.
He's going to wait until Rick comes back.
So
yeah, that pretty much completes Carl and Negan's storyline. And the rest was just Michonne and Eugene Rosita and Gabriel and Spencer. And with Michonne, what she was doing with the walkers is what she started with at the beginning of the episode, was make a roadblock to stop a car to get her to Negan's place. And, you know, the redhead is, like, super feisty and tries to fight her. But, you know, Michonne ain't stupid.
Here's a survival tip. If you're driving and you see a roadblock full of walkers, don't stop and get out of the car.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be attacked by somebody.
Exactly. If it looks like it's been done by humans, then it's been done by humans and someone's going to stop you.
Yeah. So just park and put in reverse and get out of there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about the Gabriel Spencer. Well, we see Eugene and Rosita go on a mission, and then Gabriel and Spencer go on a mission, and they start off together, they split up, and then by the end of the episode, they meet up again, back together.
Yeah.
Perfect timing, of course.
I was going to say that at first I thought Spencer was actually had put that stuff up there.
Yeah. That's one way of looking at it, but no, he didn't.
Yeah, but I realized he didn't because he looked at the piece of paper and found more supplies.
Yeah, it was basically a woodsman, who was sitting up there in the tree as a lookout, and then he just died there, I guess, or something.
Interesting.
So that bow that he had was his own tool. It wasn't Daryl's, of course.
Yeah, no, duh, yeah.
But yeah. Rosita wants to make a bullet. Eugene wants to find stuff for Negan instead. And then Spencer talks to Rosita, and because he doesn't like the fact that Rosita's not on board. He just
can't get over it. He says, why do you feel like you have to go against Rick, even though Rick sucks and I could be the new Rick? It was very confusing.
Yeah, so this is what he said.
I know you don't like it, and you don't want to hear it from me, but we got to produce for them. It's like taxes. Hey. You can keep acting pissed at me, but I didn't do this. Rick did.
You think you can do better?
Yes.
Sure. No, I bet you already have a whole truckload full of stuff hidden out there for yourself, huh? Go get it. Pay your taxes and leave me the hell alone.
This is where I think an F you was deserved. Mm-hmm. But I think that I could see why you thought that that guy up in the tree was the stash.
Because she said that, yeah. She says, oh, get your truck full of crap.
Yeah. My take on Spencer is kind of, I don't understand what his attitude. Like, I don't know if Spencer is following along with the rules and is.
I think he wants to be in charge.
Well, of course. But also, I think that he doesn't really want to follow the rules. I think he's being sarcastic. Like, mm-hmm. I think when he came back, he said, like, hey, yeah, I brought some stuff just like I'm supposed to. Or, like, he's like, oh, we got to follow the rules. Rick said, remember, let's do this. Like, I don't think he really wants to do it. I think he's being sarcastic about it. I don't know. He's kind of weird. His attitude is weird, the way it's coming across.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't come off as, yeah, he really believes what he's saying kind of thing. So Eugene and Rosita arrive at the bullet factory.
Rosita bullies the hell out of Eugene to get that freaking bullet.
You didn't like that?
I didn't like it because, one, it's not really that true anymore. Yeah, he's a coward, but he's been helping out and changing and trying to find his way like everybody else. Sure, he can't wield a gun and a sword or whatever like everyone else, but he does try to put in work.
And he has the smarts to fix things and stuff.
Exactly. He could build a bullet. So he's very valuable. And him and she putting him down like that I thought it wasn't cool.
I didn't like it either. It shows, I think she's going to regret what she said.
She already did after he made the bullet. And she said, you know, you're just saying that because you got what you wanted.
Yeah, well, I don't think she really regretted it. I think she just said, like Eugene said, I think you're just saying something to...
Oh, that's true, yeah. But yeah, she doesn't really regret it.
Just to make yourself feel better. But I think later on, she's going to regret it when something happens to Eugene, and then, you know, or Eugene does something that, you know, shows...
Yeah, because, Rosita's so ready to say, I don't care, I'm ready to take the loss.
Well, I think what the argument was about was that, what Eugene was saying is that, yeah, you could do what you're saying you're going to do, but it's going to cost someone else's life. Mm-hmm. Maybe not yours. Maybe someone else is going to pay for it. You know what I'm saying? There's a price for
exactly.
everything.
Exactly. Yeah.
So don't be don't be selfish, right? And Eugene had a point where, like, you know, let's come up with a plan with more people and do it all, work all together, not just a single person, vigilante style, you know, on your own, which I think was what he was trying to get at. I don't know. I agree with you that what Rosita said and the way she got her way was not right. I think
it was wrong. Yeah.
And I think it's going to play out maybe in the next episode or somewhere it's going to backfire on her.
Oh, totally. No one's going to hurt Eugene. I'm kind of protective of him.
Really?
Now. Yeah, because he's trying his best, man. There's more than I can say for Spencer, who is dissing Rick for no good reason in front of Gabriel, who of all people is probably Rick's biggest fan.
Did Gabriel redeem himself with this episode? Because from what he's...
He was already redeemed by when he's helped protect Judith.
That's true.
But
that's true.
I feel and like also, it was solidified.
And also hiding Maggie and stuff like that.
Yeah. But this just proves that, you know, Gabriel is loyal even when Rick's not around, you know?
Here's the clip.
What you're saying doesn't make you a sinner, but it does make you a tremendous shit. Just for now. It doesn't have to be terminal.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that means that I forgive you, and I'm just hoping it's just a temporary thing you're going through and you're going to change at some point because I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt. But the words that he used, you know, it's not terminal. Is that like a foreshadowing that maybe Spencer's going to get it? Like,
yeah,
gonna
it's
going
to cause, it's going to get him in trouble. Of course. I totally believe that.
Someone has to die in the next episode. Okay.
That's all. And I hope it's Spencer.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I kind of found not productive was Gabriel walking back and then
it didn't make any freaking sense.
I mean, did he get picked up? Because, I mean, Spencer drove all the way back, so didn't he come across Gabriel and said, hey, I'm finally heading back. Why don't you hop on board?
I thought that was what he's going to do.
I think that's... There's so many things left open in this episode that I think next episode is going to bring them all together. But like, there's so many things in play. It's like a chess, you know?
Yeah, you don't, but it's like, there's so much things that's happened. You don't know how
they're all going to come together. I mean,
yeah. Cause they left it up for interpretation.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you think it was kind of convenient that Spencer knew Latin and the guy's stuff was written in Latin? A little too convenient.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I mean, it made sense because he's the son of a senator.
Well, and well-educated, you know.
And well-educated, but all that education didn't help him not be a coward. So kind of sucks.
So much for that, yeah. I thought the scene where the walker fell and the arms got ripped off was kind of cool.
Yeah, that was my favorite scene.
But then they didn't show how the walker got killed, how the walker didn't bite him, because they didn't show Spencer actually stabbing him. So I think that's a little bit of a blooper there.
Yeah, I would say that too.
The walker just fell and just died, like stopped moving.
Like, okay. He just exploded mentally. His brain just exploded when he hit impact.
Again, we're supposed to accept things. Okay, mm-hmm. So I find this was an important little piece of information. When Spencer arrived back, he says, Spencer says, you found what you wanted. And then, of course, Rosita did. She found her bullet. And then Spencer said, I'm going to do more than just give Negan his stuff. Like, what does he mean by I'm going to do more than that?
Yeah. I think he means he's going to make a deal with Negan. He wanted to make a deal with Negan. He says, we should have taken his offer to make a deal in the first place. He'll probably say, I'll give you the head of Rick if you put me in charge.
Oh.
And I'll run this place and I'll do whatever you want.
Wow, harsh.
I know.
That would be interesting. Also,
he says, he said in the car, I think it'd be better off if Rick didn't come back.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's not afraid of saying that he wants Rick dead.
Well, that's what drove Gabriel over the edge.
Yeah. He's like, really?
That's evil stuff there. But I'm thinking that maybe he is going to keep the bow a secret and then use it to kill Negan.
That's another thing too. He says, well, if Rick couldn't take care of Negan, I'll take care of Negan.
Right. So maybe he's going to use the bow, keep that to himself, not give it to Negan, and then use that to kill Negan. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's the more thing. Also, he says, he mentioned about his Latin, how, oh, it was useful because Deanna, my mom forced me to learn it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, my mom said that pain will be useful to you someday.
Yeah.
The pain of learning Latin, right?
Mm-hmm.
And which is a throwback to Deanna, because Deanna mentions that same line to Michonne.
Yeah.
He said that this pain will be useful to you someday. And she also writes it in Latin on the map when she was making her plans of Alexandria. She wrote that same thing in Latin. This pain will be useful to you someday.
Yeah, exactly. That's why he knows Latin, you know?
Yeah. And so that whole thing about, you know, this pain will be useful to you someday comes from Deanna. So that was a throwback to her. So they come back, they open the doors and they see Negan's truck, and Spencer says, they're here. And Rosita says, he's here, which means I can go shoot him. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. There's so many options. There's so many options.
Yes.
They have a plethora of options of what to go from here. Because Negan's by himself in Alexandria.
Well, I'm sure he has a few henchmen, but...
Okay. Well, for the most part, he's outnumbered.
Yes. Okay, so let's jump to Rick and Aaron. There's not much
much. They're just struggling to find something, and they hit the gold mine when they're willing to take the risk of getting killed because they didn't know, because they were talking about it when they first saw the sign that said, keep going, only thing here for you is trouble. And then he says, well, I have to do this because Negan could be here today.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what happens when you become desperate. You throw caution out to the wind and do stupid things.
Yeah. This is one of the storylines that they could have completely left out of this episode, because the reason why I'm saying that is it was not concluded. It was just left hanging. So I'm like, well, what's the point of showing this if it just left it hanging? All the other storylines kind of wrapped up.
Yeah.
but this one, because that was kind of left hanging. So I feel like they could have shortened the episode and thrown this into the next episode, the whole thing from start to finish. But it looks like they're going to, from the preview that I saw for next episode, it looks like they're going to show the result of this. But I'm just saying that, I don't know, they just left us hanging with not much to go with on this thing. What was interesting was that they came across a stash. It looks like it was somebody's hideout, which is kind of cool to show, you know, in the apocalypse that some people could do stuff like this, you know.
I thought it was cool. Do you want to read the sign?
Yeah, I'll read some of it. It says, "My name is Leslie Williams Starton, and I'm armed with a Ruger 10/22. And he puts in brackets, too. I love this. "With a Ruger 10/22 in brackets, crack shot, can hit targets at 10 yards. Close brackets. ARS-15, and then in brackets, shit you not. AK-47, grenades.
Try me.
And several handguns and rifles of antiquity in brackets. Collector/enthusiast. You are not smart to have not listened to the first sign. You will not survive. And my conscience will be clear. Because you have been warned, I will not hesitate to protect my home, my food, my supplies, my ammo.
Congratulations.
If you've read this far, basically is saying, it's because I'm dead. Have at it, assholes.
Aw. I actually like this. This is interesting. You kind of get to see another facet of the world, you know?
Yeah. So this guy was hanging out at his houseboat, you know, guarding everything. And it looks like he put walkers in the water to protect his stash, which was kind of interesting. So
yeah, I guess the question, just swim through.
Yeah, the question is, how are they going to get to that place to get the supplies? So we'll see. That'll play out in the next episode. Kind of interesting. So let's talk a little bit about some predictions. How do you think all these storylines and things are gonna come together? Do you think Rosita is gonna try to kill Negan with her single bullet?
I think everyone's gonna try to kill Negan. We've got Michonne, we've got Jesus, we've got Carl, we've got Rosita, we've got maybe possibly Spencer. We've got everyone trying their hardest to get prepared. But the only reason why I think it's not gonna work and they can't is because they're all divided.
Mm-hmm.
And none of them are working together. So I think it's going to backfire on them. They could make another stupid mistake. They'll get them back in the crapper. Or he's just going to change the game. Something's going to happen.
United we stand. United we stand, divided we fall, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That cliche line kind of applies here.
I think so, yeah.
So, I mean, one thing that could pan out is if Michonne goes to the Savior's compound, and finds Daryl, and Daryl at the same time gets the key to the motorcycle and escapes.
Unless it was Michonne that said, "Leave now," and gave them the key to the motorcycle.
That would be strange. How would she get in there? You know what I'm saying?
True.
Who knows? Yeah, it's hard to imagine. But, I mean, she could get there just as she's led into... just as Daryl's leaving or something, or just as the whole thing is going down and somehow helps him, who knows? That could happen. And then, so we have Spencer with the bow, trying to kill Negan and then...
or kill Rick.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That other double theory.
And then we have Rosita trying to kill Negan happening at Alexandria. So there's stuff happening in Alexandria. There's stuff happening at the Saviors.
And this is a good episode. It's packed with a lot of information and things so that we're on our toes, which is way it always should have been, I think.
Yeah. So the next episode, things are going to come to a head or get wrapped up. We'll see. They'll probably leave us on a cliffhanger, but I don't think Negan's going to die in the next episode because he's a character that's going to be there for a while. So... and he has a lot of stuff to play out.
Well, and he signed for another season, so unless they're going to carry his dead body around for a whole other season, I doubt that he's going away anytime soon.
So Jeffrey Dean Morgan did sign up for another season, right?
Yeah. I'm excited and kind of just hoping that the show will give us good stuff. That's all I care about. I just want to see good things. I don't want to see any more BS.
Yeah, I think this episode was good. It was building up to something awesome, and we'll see it play out in the next episode. I'm curious to see what comes out of that stash that Aaron and Rick find.
It's got to be the mother load, because if they're going to add that little cliffhanger at the end, it better be freaking great, okay?
It's going to be the
mother... If it's like another Tara pulling a bag out of the sand type thing, I'm going to be pissed.
And then everything comes collapsing down?
Yeah.
Or the...
It just doesn't work out.
The houseboat sinks.
Yeah.
And they lose all their supplies.
Like they did when they lost the truck in the pond. What a waste.
Yeah.
These supplies don't come cheap, you know.
Well, if it's all weapons, then it could be in their benefit, and they could use that somehow. Like, if Rick's smart, he's not going to give it to Negan.
No, but see, that's the thing. It's because they need more people. It's not about anything else other than that. He believes that he can find supplies, and that's not going to be a problem. He just needs the men to do it.
So, do you think that Carol and Morgan are going to get involved in the next episode? There's so many characters spread out everywhere. Like, I don't know what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. I don't think they're going to get involved. I don't think we're even going to see them in the next episode. Unless the next episode is only about Carol.
that would suck.
Then I'd be upset.
That would suck.
Well, we've come to the end of the show. Thank you all for listening to this episode. If you like what you hear, please tell your friends and everyone you know. We love to get new subscribers. You can send email feedback to talkback@thewalkingdeadgirl.com. And as always, this is Jasmine.
And I'm Michael.
Stay alive.